If you would, turn in your Bibles, but not to Ephesians. This is Communion Sunday, so you know that I try to offer some thoughts on what we celebrate in what is known as the Lord's Supper. So if you turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we want to look at chapter 3, starting with verse 4, although I'll quickly reference verse 3. And I want to contrast the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, what we celebrate this morning. In the Lord's Supper is not only a remembrance of Jesus, but we celebrate that Jesus Christ inaugurated the new covenant. That means there was an old covenant, right? Well, let's see what the Bible in the New Testament says about the old covenant. But before we do that, I found something unique. We're contrasting the old with the new. So I found something unique as an analogy bridge of thought to bring to your attention. At the end of the year, they're always doing these articles about the new year and stuff, and I found something that I found very interesting. I'm going to take you back to the old days and make it approximately 1914 to 1916. By the way, we had a member who was born in 1912. Why can't I think? He was such a precious... We remodeled the sanctuary because of... Roland was born, I think, in 1912. When he was born, 100 years ago. Let's go back. Let's go back to the old... See the old times, the new time today. The old covenant, the new covenant. This is the analogy I want to build for you, okay? What was it like 1914, 1915, 1916? 100 years. So they did a research and decided to find out. In 1914, cocaine in America was legal. That's exactly right. Coca-Cola in its original formulation had it in it, and it made people feel good. It was made only illegal 100 years ago. At this time, 100 years ago, marijuana was still perfectly legal. It was available for purchase at pharmacies or the drugstore. And doctors still regularly prescribed heroin to their patients. How do you like that? I've seen these old ads. It shows this bottle. And it was OTC at one point for coughs, where it had cough syrup and cocaine in it. And I know people I hear that took that and never got over their cough. See, oh, got to have more of that. Ah, that's okay. All right, in 1915, here we go. Ready, Rosemary? The word teenager had not been invented. That's when you said that I thought about my list that I'm going to read. So when we say the teenagers are dismissed for their own worship service, that's a modern term. It was not used 100 years ago. By the way, ladies, in 1915, the constitutional amendment guaranteeing you the right to vote had not yet passed 100 years ago. A bunch of male chauvinist pigs. That's what I learned having three daughters. In 1910, only 14,000 people, Officer Terry, were in prison. Today, I think it's 3 million in our country. Someone of our founders said that if you vacuum out the Bible from teaching in our schools, you will do nothing but fill the prisons. And it had come true. Only 14,000 were incarcerated. the population of Vegas. Where is Cheryl? In 1900, it was 22 people lived in Vegas. In 1910, only 800 people lived in Vegas. And in 1920, slightly less than 100 years, only 2,300 people lived in Las Vegas. Get this. In 1913, the first gas station dedicated to pumping gas only was opened. Opened in Pittsburgh. Before that, if you needed gas for anything like those newfangled contraptions known as cars, you'd go to a convenience store to buy gas. I don't know, but they didn't have gas stations. Let's go back only 75 years. In 1940, half of American homes didn't have hot and cold water. Didn't have a tub or shower. And no flush toilet. How do you like that? In 1901, the first speed law was passed. And that law happened first in Connecticut. You could go 15 miles an hour on general roads and only 12 within the city limit. Have you ever driven today? I'm sorry, but in Oxnard, the moment I arrive in Oxnard, I feel like I need a force field to put around my car. They are. Who keeps 12 miles an hour? In 1915, the Eiffel Tower was the tallest structure in the world. Now, if you saw that fire of the place called the Address in the United Arab Emirates, they have the tallest building. It's just towers over the Eiffel Tower. 1938, U.S. set the first minimum wage. Guess what it was? 25 cents an hour. 100 years ago, the average per capita income per year, $332. Or they converted it to today's money, and that would be $7,800 today. In 1910, hardly anybody lived in cities. Most lived in the suburbs. Today, 80% don't go anywhere near that. Okay, this is for Dr. Crewe. This is what it says. I thought of him when I saw this. I'll quote my source here. In 1915, 100 years ago, many practicing doctors in the U.S. had been educated haphazardly. Here's what they say about med schools. Medical schools had become mostly diploma mills. Can you imagine going to a doctor, he's got his diploma? You know what a diploma mill is? There's my diploma. It meant nothing. And it was John Hopkins University, 100 years ago, that put the science into the real skill of medicine. 1915, a dozen eggs, 34 cents. A gallon of milk, 18 cents. I saw Hawaii, where some of you go. They wanted $9.97 a gallon in Hawaii for milk. They had dropped it like Vaughn's, $2 off. You know, I'm going, wow, that much for milk. A pound of coffee, 30 cents. Go to Starbucks. I dare you to ask for 30 cents worth of coffee today. In 100 years ago, guess what most people were? Farmers. Today, America, what we're mostly known for in our economy, you know what they're mostly known for today? Welfare. Service jobs. We don't produce anything anymore. We just serve. In 1915, get ready, canned beer, what you think of as a supermarket, and Barbie dolls hadn't even been thought of. In 1915, there was no, are you ready for this? no official national anthem. In 1910, a little bit under 10% of Americans could not read, write. By the way, that's a decline from the 1800s, where they were more literate in the 1800s than we were then in the 1900s. And this one, and I remember because my grandmother, this was true of her, only about half of America in 1900, between the age of 5 and 19, were in school, and formal education typically ended at the 8th grade. How do you like that? I thought that was interesting, how in 100 years, and I know what might happen, in 100 years, somebody's going to take out the list on us. And they'll show us a picture. You can't see it like this. And they go, look at those primitive people with those, what they, I think they called them cell phones. And weren't there, what they used the word, laptop? Isn't that an unusual name? They had laptops. What will they have in those days?
Implants.
Possibly. That just shows you how things change. Well, let's look at how things changed. We celebrate this morning the new covenant. If we're celebrating in this, the new covenant, that must mean that there was a old covenant. And the old covenant is what Moses gave. Have you seen the difference between 100 years and how much has changed? It's the exact same way between the old and the new covenant, how much it changes. Paul starts this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 at verse 3. Talks about tablets of stone. That God has put His Spirit in the new covenant, not on tablets of stone, but on our heart. That's an amazing contrast between the old and the new covenant. In the old covenant, the law. And what was it written on? Now, God has given His believers in the new covenant the law written on our hearts. The law written on our hearts. It's been internalized. How many kept the old covenant law? Name one person. See, the Lord had to inaugurate the new covenant where the Holy Spirit gives us the power and writes it on our heart. Let's continue in verse 4. And such confidence we now have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Anybody ever want to tell you that you need a priest, a minister, or whatever it is for anything that is unbiblical? In the new covenant, we are all... Did you hear what he said? We are all ministers of the new covenant. Well then, Pastor Dave, how did we get to this where they call you reverend? There's nothing reverend about me. Don't laugh. It came through Roman Catholicism. A professional class of clergy. And then what do people do when you become a professional class? They close the gates so that you either have to be a professional class or you can't participate. So they made it an exclusive little club where everybody thinks that you have to go see the priest or the minister. That is absolutely unbiblical. In the new covenant, you're all ministers of it. That means you serve the new covenant, right? Do you serve the old covenant? Matter of fact, the book of Hebrews warns you that if you go back to the old covenant under Moses, you have put Christ to open shame. That's how wondrous the new covenant is with Jesus. That if you try to go back to be an old covenant Christian, it ain't possible. And the book of Hebrews says that that is the unpardonable sin of putting Christ in open shame, who shed his blood, and the blood of bulls and of goats could never take away sin like they thought in the old covenant. Look what it says, the new covenant, not of the letter. Verse 6, what did you get under the old covenant? What was the rule they lived by under Moses? What was it? An eye for an eye. And a tooth for tooth. Do the people in the Middle East scare you? Do you know why they scare you? I finally had the courage. I'm a peacenik. I'm one of those peace men. I finally had the courage last night to watch American Sniper. Bothered me. All of the killing. And I saw the guy, and the little kids would grab the bombs and stuff and gonna go, and he had to sit there and decide whether he would kill the little kid. I couldn't do it. I'm sorry. Wimpy. I am. Unless they threaten my family. But then this one terrorist, we would call them freedom. Depends. They're freedom fighters if you're on their side. They're terrorists. You know, it's, what do you think George Washington was thought of as the British? You bet. Just depends on whose ox is being gored. Sorry, I think differently. But they showed this one terrorist, the family, these precious Arab families, Iraqi families, they were pressured by the U.S. to give information on one of the freedom fighters, if you want it, or terrorists, depends on whose side you are, and they found out, took the guy's little kid, and he would use a drill. And they drilled through the kid's leg, and then right in front of the whole group to make fear. And then they drilled into his skull to kill him. And the father was screaming. I thought, those precious people, look what we have done to those people by bringing chaos into the Middle East. I'm sorry, but that's what's happened. Your founding fathers would be spinning in the grave that we've been involved in things like this. And it was in those days, and it's now there, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You want to go under the old covenant? Then guess what? Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But it is not that way under the new covenant of Jesus. It says the letter kills. The letter of the law. You want to give somebody the letter of the law? You know, Christians should be the most merciful people in the world because God has lavished us with His grace. When we see people who don't know Jesus, you should know that they need Jesus so that that they can experience the grace and forgiveness of Jesus. The letter kills. The old covenant, what did they do in the old covenant? Matter of fact, they tried to do this with Jesus. They didn't like what Jesus preached, so what'd they do? Picked up stones. You want to be under the old covenant? Then guess what? Jesus said, you who are without guilt, you cast the first stone. We'd all be dead under Moses' covenant. But look what it says. The new covenant gives what? Life. That's why Christians are so fervent for those precious little babies that have no one to represent them in the womb. You hear those Planned Parenthood discussing how much they want for the little baby's body parts? It's just awful what we've become. Not only have they taken out the old covenant, but they vacuumed out Christianity, and guess what you get? Someone was telling me this morning that they're thinking about executing people with a guillotine because that way they can give away the organs and there's no poison in them to bother for the transplant. Oh, they've got some wonderful things planned. The Spirit under the new covenant gives life. You want life? You want love? You want compassion? You run to the new covenant under Jesus. Look what it says the old covenant was in verse 7. The ministry of what? Death. What's the new covenant? It was letters engraved on stone, yet it was glorious. Anything that God does is glorious, but look what it says. It was glorious so that the sons of Israel could not even look on the face of Moses. How then shall the ministry of the new covenant, the ministry of the Spirit, verse 8, be even more glorious? Don't go back to the old covenant. It was the letter of the law. Look what it says in verse 9. Not only was it a ministry of death, but look at verse 9. The old covenant was a ministry of condemnation. God had to teach His people His law, His righteousness, His holiness. But it was a ministry of what? Condemnation. What's the new covenant? The ministry of righteousness. Glorious. You get the idea. We'll go on for this maybe another time. That's the great contrast between the old and the new. That's what we're celebrating. That God's love and forgiveness come to full fruition through the new covenant, not the old. So the next time you see someone on TV and you say, Lord, you need to bring down fire from heaven on them. You've become an old covenant Christian. The new covenant would pray, Lord, save them. They need your mercy and they need your grace.